Okay, welcome to the strategy session for January 17th, and welcome to Jeremy and Christy. We're just getting things started here, and let's start off. I would love to meet Christy, because I don't know you, I don't think.
No, I have not met you before, Crystal. I know Eileen. I did the Writer's Studio last year with Eileen and SFU, and it was fantastic. I loved it. So this year I'm actually her TA, so I get to pretend that I know something and and help other people, which I love to do. But I'm working on an adult novel right now, and I took a ton of courses quite a few years ago, kind of part-time out at UBC, in creative writing, with the thought that I'd probably do children's literature. I'm an artist as well. So I did a bunch of that, which was really fun. Sent stuff out, nothing sort of got picked up. And then I tried different genres. So I did some screenwriting, did a little bit of novel writing. And so this story that I've now, so many years later, come back to, is a story that I had actually written initially as a screenplay, and after a very, as you get to know me, I will disclose more, but yeah, very tumultuous years have come back to my writing. And so now I think that this story deserves being in novel form, and actually want to give it the time that it deserves. Yeah.
Nice. Well, welcome.
Thank
Lovely
you.
To meet you. Jeremy, why don't you introduce yourself too?
Okay, sorry. Yeah, thank you. My name is Jeremy Matheson. My day job, I'm a computer animator for video games. I've recently published two books independently, like Amazon and on Smashwords. And I'm trying to learn how to promote them better, because they've been fine, but nothing special as far as, you know, downloads and sales. Is that a good? Oh, I think it froze up on me. Uh-oh.
I can still hear you, Jeremy.
Oh, you can. Great. Yeah. I don't know why mine froze up. I'm not sure. Crystal's still frozen to me.
She is frozen to me too.
Okay. Did you hear all of my introduction?
I did. I wondered what studio you worked at. My niece is an animator, or in animation lab at Method Studio.
What studio, sorry?
At Method.
Method. Oh, okay. They must do film or cartoons?
They've sort of moved into film. So they used to do a lot of commercials, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Her background, because she's lived all over the world, is really film. Like, she worked on, you know, Happy Feet and Batman versus Superman, and, you know.
Oh, cool.
Stuff. Yeah, very cool stuff. So now she's a lead over at Method. Yeah. And so they're getting some interesting work. But yeah, it's a cool industry. Yay.
Yeah, I enjoy it. But yeah, sorry, I'm at Electronic Arts, at EA Studios.
Oh, at EA. Oh, okay. Yeah. Great.
Sorry, Crystal, I don't know why it cut out.
Oh, that's me. My internet was just gone weird, that's all.
Okay.
Yeah. As long as you guys are getting to know each other, that's perfect. I know Jeremy, so that's all good. And I guess, Christy, for you, I write a lot of different things. I've published in children's books, actually, for, I guess, 12 or 13 years now, maybe even longer. Picture books and early reader chapter books. And I did a lot of, indie stuff, but I also worked for an educational publisher in Korea. And so have kind of done a combination of like work for hire and then, at all the different levels, and some fiction, some nonfiction, all different kinds of things for kids. And then also I write romance as CJ Hunt. And so I have, mostly indie published that as well, since I did run a children's book publishing company for years and years, and then worked as a consultant helping other people publish their work as well. So yeah, for me, it makes sense to take that path and put all the stuff I learned to use in that. So I don't know. I think the next book that comes out might be number 30, but I have to do the math. Yeah, I have to do the math on that and actually put all the titles together. So yeah, it's been a consistent, like, last 15 years. I've been just one step at a time doing all that stuff. So I'm super involved in all different aspects of the writing community and the Surrey Conference and all kinds of things like that. So yeah, I'm excited to be sharing all of what I know as a resource. And I'm hoping that both of you can tell me what's one thing you would love to take away from today.
I can go first if you want.
Sure.
Okay, I wrote down four or five questions here. I think I did them priority. Well, I'll start with I think is an easy one. So I'm doing those book funnel promotions, and I end up with, like, so far, I mean, it's small compared to your numbers, Crystal, but I'm happy with them because it's better than what I had before. I've had 45 new subscribers in, I guess I started it Thursday, right?
Yeah, it was a week ago that we talked about it. So
yeah, so in, I think actually under a week, but yeah, maybe a week ago. Yeah, it actually was a week. Yeah, so 45 new subscribers. That's awesome. But what I wanted to ask you about is promoting the promotion. You know, for example, I joined just one so far, and I think I sent out one letter to my newsletter. You know, mm-hmm. to let them know about it. And then I've tweeted about it twice. And then I put it on Facebook once because Facebook kind of, you know, repeats that feed. And I also put it on my LinkedIn because I know that's not a real place, but people do seem to find my stuff there. So I add to LinkedIn. Is that enough? Am I doing my part per week? Like, I don't know if that's too much, too little.
Yeah, so the guidelines in the promotion will tell you what you're firmly committed to. And just for some context, Christy, the book funnel is a platform or a tool that lets you bundle together your freebie with other authors. And then people get a link to a page that has all the book covers and they can click on it to download your free book. And they end up on your newsletter list if you set it up that way. So that's what we're talking about here, is that process and how that works. Each bundle will have its own set of commitments that you're agreeing to when you sign up for it. So some of them will say you have to, you know, share it on all your social media platforms once, and you have to send it out to your newsletter once. Some will say you have to contribute $10 to the pot and then they run Facebook ads for it or whatever. So you're only committed to, like, specifically committed to what it says in that promo's requirements. And so you can go up or down from there as you feel comfortable and as is appropriate for your audience. Especially if you're doing a bunch of them, you don't want to burn everyone out on it.
I'm kind of worried about
it. So yeah, exactly. So it's great to share it out on the platforms. And if you share it early, then you can encourage people to reshare it. The other strategy is to not share it until closer to the end, so that it's like you have 72 hours to go grab this. Or you can do one at the beginning, like, hey, this just launched, and then do like a 24 hours left to grab your stuff post and stuff on social media at the end. For my newsletter, I only share each promo one time. In a like a featured way. Sometimes if there's multiples running, I might have a little note at the bottom of the newsletter that just says, by the way, if you missed it, you know, these three things are still available. So yeah, it's a balance of getting the word out without actually being obnoxious about it. And so just use your best judgment of what that feels like and how you're interacting with people. And I mean, there's the overt sharing, and then there's the, what I call, like, passive advertising, which might be like if you downloaded some of the other books in the bundle and there was a couple that you thought were particularly good, call out that, because then that author might actually retweet that or share that or favorite that. And so that's a friendlier way of marketing, is by actually highlighting what someone else did that's awesome. And it's more of a joint venture or cooperative marketing. So you tend to get more energy from that. You get more uptake and people like that it's not you that you're promoting. So I find that really helps in getting the word out. And, you know, there's lots of those, like there's lots of bundles and lots of promos. And so you'll just guess and test a little bit, but you'll find, yeah, as long as you're sharing it out to your newsletter once, that's what people really want. And as your newsletter builds, then your impact of that grows as well. So,
okay.
Yeah. I started a bundle, started at midnight on Sunday, and there's 37 authors in it. And it's a magic and romance. And so we've had thousands already of downloads between the authors, which is awesome. I think I have, well, I didn't check today, but yesterday I had almost 300 new subscribers in like 48 hours. So but that's romance, right? So that's
a day.
Yeah. Wow. But that's, I mean, romance is a whole different ball game. Like people, once you get into romance, people are like literally eating the books. So that's cool. But it also depends on the size of the list in the promo. So like I've been in some promos where it might've run for 2 weeks and I only got like 100 people. So it just depends. Like this promo that's running, I had a requirement that you couldn't be part of it unless your list was already over 2000 people.
Right.
So, you know, if you're crafting a promo, you might like to go with a smaller number of authors, but a bigger reach. And if you're organizing it, you say what the requirements are.
Yeah. Okay. So, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Next question.
I have more questions, Christy, if you don't want to go, but let me know.
No, please. I mean, this is like a totally different world for me. I am so not technical. Like for me to actually be able to be on the screen with you is like miraculous. So you just ask your questions and I will happily take in all the info. Thank you.
Okay. I have another one that's probably going to be a little bit interesting. Maybe, maybe not. So my downloads on my PermaFree book have been like slowly going down over the last 2 months. They kind of like they went down in December and then they spiked at Christmas and went way up. And then from January, you know, 1st to now, they've been kind of slowly going down. And they were never great. I was averaging, you know, 30 downloads a day, I would say. They were more in the beginning and kind of like less in the end. It just it fluctuates. But overall, it's been trending down. So I kind of panicked. And I thought, well, maybe it's my keywords. And I don't know if this might be new to you, but there is an app called Kindle Sumo. Have you heard of it, Crystal?
I haven't used Kindle Sumo. I know of KDP Rocket and
probably similar.
Also Booksprout has a keyword function tool in the back end as well.
Okay.
So I've used those.
So, yeah, what I did with Kindle Samurai, this might sound familiar, was like you put in your keywords you want to use, and then it tells you, I think it's like how often they're searched, and based on the Nick Stevenson, you know, course, he said you want to find ones when you're new, you want to find ones that are roughly like, I wish I knew this number exactly, man. He said 1,000, and I think that's either 1,000 people search a day, or there's 1,000 books maybe in those keywords, and that's like a good like you know you're a big fish in a small pond theory, and so my keywords early on that was the case for all of them. And I went back and searched them, and those numbers have changed quite a bit. And some of them, the numbers are a lot higher. So I thought, oh, maybe now I'm just not being seen as much, so I'll change them. Right. And so I found some new keywords, and they fit that parameter. And so I changed them, and I woke up to zero downloads yesterday, and I panicked because I always have at least a few. I was like, oh, what have I done? You know, yeah. Now I've fallen off the frigging cliff. And so I changed them back to my old ones and I immediately went back to my regular downloads. You know,
okay.
I averaged like 25, awesome. Say. That's
great to know.
So I just wanted to know, is that done? Do you change your keywords or do you not?
Well, I actually did. I was at the opposite where I wasn't getting any downloads of my free book. And then I changed the keywords and went to like 400 a day overnight. Yeah, so that was what prompted that. And part of that was that I didn't understand before that I didn't get how you got into all the subcategories for books on Amazon. Like,
okay.
Yeah. It's your keywords actually is one of the ways that they automatically drop you into those subcategories. So what you need to do is, Google keyword categories or category keywords for KDP and find your genre, because there's like a specific list for each genre. So in like, I'll keep using romance examples because that's what I know, but in romance, there's, you know, wedding romances, and there's cowboy romances, and there's paranormal, and there's holiday ones, and there's second chance romances. And so each, there's a set of keywords that will automatically get you added to that category. So you want to make sure that one of your keywords is that. And there's some strategies to keyword phrases and things, like getting the most out of your keyword space, because it's, are you using just single words or phrases?
Phrases. I type in all sorts of random stuff. Middle grade action adventure for girls, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. So
I think I'm doing that part right.
How many of your keywords would be around like the actual themes in your book, as opposed to descriptors of the type of book?
Not many, maybe two.
Okay. There's a podcast specifically on keywords in the Kindlepreneur podcast. And I would actually recommend you listen to that entire podcast. Like there's
so what's it called? It's called
Kindlepreneur. Yeah.
Kindlepreneur. How do you spell
that? Yeah, like entrepreneur, but Kindlepreneur.
Okay. I see. Okay. Yeah. Kindlepreneur.
I'll put a link below this recording after.
So yep. Awesome. Thank you.
But Kindlepreneur is one of the best podcasts. And if you listen to it from the beginning, they're pretty short little episodes, but they'll talk about categories and keywords and KDP and how all of that works. And it's one of the most helpful things. It was after listening to that I made a bunch of changes that like skyrocketed.
Oh, you're the best, Crystal. I'm excited. So, awesome. I was yesterday, I wanted to give up and die. So you're doing this.
Yeah. And you know, the other question I had for you is, where have you put your free promo for a book listing? Like there's a bunch of sites that you can list your perma-free books on for promotion.
Oh, I have not done that at all.
Okay, perfect. Well, there's homework number two.
Okay, so
there's a list on Kindlepreneur, and it's like the top 127 free book promo sites. And so some have a special category for perma-free and some have a special category for promos, whether it's free or 99 cents. And usually you kind of go through the list and you manually put your stuff there. Some are paid, some are free. I would start with all of the free ones and see what difference that makes. Start with best. If you are pay for some, look at the one that he's highlighted his top 10. There's like a special report you can do on the opener site, and will tell you which ones are non-investment.
Okay, awesome.
So that is, don't try them all at once. Put one on or two on, you can see actual. You do every.
You're cutting out a bit, Crystal, but I think I got the gist of it. You're saying don't add them all at once. Add one or two to a site at a time and see the response.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. You know, if you set yourself, here's my list of the top like 50, and you know, add one a week, or you know, if you want to do a blitz of like five, add those and see how it goes, or whatever you want to do. But just make sure. I would say don't add all of them at once. I also just found a tool called KDROI, which is the guy who invented Kindle Spy, same guy, but it's a tool that lets you submit with like one click to all of the sites, but it's like a buckshot kind of approach. I don't know if it works or not, but I'm going to use it this week on Silver Bells and see where it shows up successfully and what kind of change I get. So if you want, I'll report back on that tool next week. And if you've just picked a couple of the top ones to submit to, you won't have spent like hours and hours. And if it works good, then I'll let you know. Cause that's a pretty great time saver. It's just a Chrome extension, and you just click on it and it pulls in your info from Amazon and then sends it to all the sites that you've selected out of a list. And you can tell it like perma free or 99 cents or just a free promo. So I'll let you know, and I'm going after a coupon code. So don't buy it until after.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Talk about the coupon for members. So.
Great. So I'm going to mark that as a green question that it's been answered. That was a great answer too. That's awesome info. What does this mean? I wrote down not Amazon promotion. Oh, I know what that means. Okay. So, Christy, you still okay if I ask a question?
Oh, please do.
Okay. So I know like Amazon, I kind of know some ways to promote there. And I know that the website itself does a great job of promoting books. So that's kind of answered, but I know like I'm on Smashwords, which puts me onto Kobo and puts me on the Nook. And I believe iBook. Yeah, they do. Cause I definitely had one download there. But I don't really know how to promote, you know, on those websites. And I have emailed the guy to ask. And he didn't get back to me, obviously, you know, he's too busy. But I tried. I was wondering, other than putting, like, for example, on my landing page for my free book on my website, I have, you know, Amazon logo, I have the Kobo, the Nook logo, and the iBook logo, just to let people know they can get them all those places. Whenever I have, like, tried a Facebook ad or... yeah, just the Facebook ads. I have put all those options. When I was promoting my book, like, hey, the first one's out free, the second one's out for sale, I also put links to all those websites. But I've seen pretty minimal downloads there. You know, I think I've had 2 paid sales for my paid book, and I've had 110 downloads for my free book. And obviously compared to Amazon, where I've had, you know, I think over 3,000, that's a pretty, you know,
yeah,
big contrast.
Okay, so couple of questions. The first one being, how many reviews do you have of your books on Amazon?
Okay, yeah. So on the U.S. Amazon, I have 12 for the free book. I'm trying to get, actually, that's a question I wanted to ask you, how to get more reviews. Okay. Anyways, I have 12 on Amazon US, and I have 3 on the Canadian one and 3 on the English one. And those, I think, transferred to India and whatnot. And then for my second book, I have 3 on all the sites because they take the American one and they just spread out to the rest. So yeah, 12 for the first one, 3 for the second.
Okay. So, and your stories are full length, right?
There are like 50,000 words.
So you want probably to make your next focus getting your reviews up to 20, at least on Amazon.com.
Yeah, I've been trying. I have, like, for example, when you go to my website, or if you sign up, you get one email right away kind of welcoming you and saying what to expect. And then you get one a month later saying, you know, if you could please review my book. There's a link to the place you can review and everything. And on top of that, where's the other place I have it? If you download it through Amazon at the end of the book, it says, you know, something along the lines of, you know, I'd really appreciate if you could review my book, if you enjoyed it kind of thing. And there's there as well.
Okay. So pause that for 1 second. I'm going to ask you a separate question. What was driving the decision to not go in Kindle Unlimited? Like, what made you choose to go wide over?
Okay. I listened to Nick Stevenson's course, and he kind of gives you 2 options. He goes, you can go Kindle Unlimited, and that's great because you get a few perks. But the downside is that if Amazon ever changes the way they do business and you don't like it, you're kind of stuck. And then he said, if you go more wide, then you're less, you know, tied down to them. And he said that he makes 50% of his sales through Amazon, 50% through everybody else. And I was like, ooh, I'd like to learn to do that. So I'll go that route. That was really it.
But he's selling nonfiction in a niche that he's known in, right?
That might be true. I thought he meant like his thriller series. I could be wrong.
Oh, and maybe he is. But so one of the main decision points or sort of breaks in the pathway is a lot of authors find that once they are well known, it makes sense to go wide. But for a new author, the advantage of Kindle Unlimited is people can try you with no commitment specifically to you personally. Like, they pay their $10 a month. They can read anything that's in the program. So I started wide as well. I've made like $27 in royalties from all of the other platforms of my books. I had them from September to mid-December. I had gone wide, and I, like $25 or something total from the books, from all the places, from all of that time. So I published a new book at the beginning of December, and I put it into Kindle Unlimited because I was curious what that would do. And what that did was boosted my page reads, which you get paid for, quite drastically. Okay. And it also, for whatever reason, spiked my free downloads. And I don't know why.
Maybe just people
noticing it. Like, I know that part of the algorithm on Amazon is that if people do a keyword search and your book comes up, if they click on it, it pushes you higher up the search. If they don't click, it pushes you down. So what happens is, right now, with the millions of people in Kindle Unlimited, if they search for a keyword and a whole bunch of books come up, they're only clicking on ones that are in Kindle Unlimited. So that will also be impacting the follow through on that. So, I mean, it's a choice that only each person can make for themselves. But for you, I would be tempted. Like, you're not committed to Amazon forever. Not ever. Like, if they change things, you move. That's usually your books. You're not signing everything away. So I get that some people are really like paranoid about if Amazon changes something, you're hooped. But it's a benefit of being indie. You just switch if things aren't working for you. And yes, it might be a 2 to 3 month like time lapse. But personally, I threw everything into Kindle Unlimited other than my PermaFree series starters. Those are still out there everywhere. Okay. But I put my other paid books into KU, and my royalties went whoomph. And I'm now making more off page reads every day than I am off sales. It's like, it's very closely balanced, but it more than doubled my daily royalties. So,
okay. So you suggest taking the paid one, put it into Kindle Unlimited, but not the free.
I would try it. Yeah. Leave your PermaFrees exactly where they are, but put it into KU, and then be super aggressive about asking for reviews at the end of the book and then to your newsletter list. Because if you can send out something to your newsletter folks that says, hey, I've added the book to Kindle Unlimited, head on over and read it, check it out. I would also say don't wait a whole month to request a review from people, because by then they've read like 50 other books and moved on. So I would tighten your timeline of your request for review note up. 10 days or 2 weeks maybe.
Okay.
And just like, hey, I'm just checking in. I really hope you enjoyed the story, and, you know, the little spiel about reviews are worth their weight in gold for indie authors and whatever. And then, go from there.
Okay. I'll put that weight in gold. That's a good.
Yeah. you can steal that from my newsletter. If you sign up for my CJ Hunt list, you can steal all of my phrasing on anything I'm fine to share.
Okay. Awesome. So can I guess, summarize what you said to make sure I didn't miss anything? I got people talking in the background. So essentially you were saying, move my email request up 2 weeks, keep my PermaFree book everywhere, but move my paid book into Kindle Unlimited. Is that the gist of it?
Yeah, that's the gist of it. And the other way you can get more reviews is, I did before you move your books, do this before you move the books, so you're not violating any agreement with Amazon, but you can say you're getting ready to relaunch your books, and you can post on Booksprout, put a 2 week period or however long you're going to wait before you move over your books.
Okay.
And then get as many reviews as possible through Booksprout before you make that shift. Right.
That's another question I was asking you about Booksprout, but okay. Put book in Booksprout for reviews.
Because you've already got all your files. It's the same ones you upload to BookFunnel as you would to Booksprout. So you upload your ARC copies. You authorize how many people you're willing to have download it. And I usually get like an 80% return rate on the ARC copies from Booksprout. So I will authorize 100 people are allowed to download an ARC, and I will get 80 reviews out of that.
Okay.
So, you want to just say how many. The free account gives you 20. So maybe you just want to start with a free account and do like a 2 week period with a maximum of 20. It won't cost you anything at all. You already have your files. It should take you like half an hour max to set it all up. And then you just have to click a button to say call for reviews. And it sends a reminder out to everybody who downloaded it. So set a 2-week deadline or whatever for them to download. And then, hit that button at the end of the 2 weeks and see how many you get.
So can I ask one more quick question about the Booksprout? So essentially, if I go through Booksprout, I will be putting my book out through them, and then I would advertise my mailing list and ask people there to read and review it through Booksprout. Is that correct?
Not through Booksprout. Booksprout has its own readers. I didn't know a single person or have a single connection when I put my books onto Booksprout. They have 10 or 20,000 people who are part of the Booksprout community. So you say what your book is about and what categories it's in, and they've got all these people who are set up to get notified when a new arc goes up for that genre. So you don't have to know those people. These are complete strangers who have no experience or connection to your work. And then there's a button you can put your newsletter sign up connection piece in there. So like I have, 120 followers on Booksprout or something who get notified every time I post something to Booksprout. But that's a whole different, like it's got multiple channels. So this is separate. These are people you don't know and have never seen before and have no idea who you are. They just like your kind of books.
Awesome. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Don't have to connect them. You still manage your reviewers from your site however you want. That's a totally separate deal.
Oh, okay. And I do that before I go to KDP Unlimited because that will affect that.
Well, KDP doesn't want the books given away. They don't mind advance review copies, but when you're doing like a fill app review thing where you're trying to backfill your reviews from an older book that's already out, you don't want to violate your KDP terms of service. So you want to make sure that you do that before you move it over. You can always, like, even once you go exclusive on Amazon, you can always send review copies to people, but you're not supposed to like post it publicly that you're giving away copies. And you can check the box on Booksprout that lets people find it easily, which is what you want if you're doing it, with an existing book, and you don't have your own list there. So yeah, you want to make sure that you do that first and then move into KDP Select after.
Okay.
And just test it. Like worst case scenario, you're in there for 3 months. But honestly, like unless you're making a good chunk of money from the other platforms, you're not going to notice a huge difference. Now, the only thing is you said you use Smashwords, not Draft2Digital, to do the publishing. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So I don't know how long it takes to delist with Smashwords. You'll have to Google search that.
Okay.
I use Draft2Digital and I know some came down within 24 hours and the longest one was Overdrive. It took about a week. I think they submit on Thursdays at midnight. So that might be like, if you time it right, it might only be like a day, but the way I timed it, it was the whole week. So, and you go KDP direct, right? Like you have a...
Yes.
Like for, yeah. So you've got Smashwords plus you've got a KDP account.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. So once you've confirmed that absolutely it's delisted from all the places, then go to KDP, but you don't want to have crossover. So that's okay. You could actually, you could delist it from the other channels or request your delist, and then you're going to have a week or two waiting period anyway. So you could be getting reviews from Amazon, because that won't be impacted at all. So you could use Booksprout to get your Amazon reviews boosted while you wait for the delisting to happen on the other platforms.
Cool. Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll give that a go.
Okay. Christy, anything so far that like you want to ask, add, clarify?
I think the whole thing needs to be clarified. So my question to you is, do you have something or somewhere that a virgin like me could go and could kind of see step by step what the heck you're talking about?
I'm working on a really detailed like visual algorithm or like pathway so that it'll say, okay, like here, 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 these are the chains of stuff that you're going to do I mean, Jeremy's about, you know, if the line is this long, Jeremy's about here already. So there's definitely, like, we got to fill in this part. I did at one point write a book that is like the whole process, but it's like, you know, pretty fat. I'm trying to streamline that. And there's a master publishing plan blog post that I wrote that probably needs a wee tweak, but might actually be helpful. I'm going to put a note to dig up the master plan and bring it into here, because it does have sort of a glossary sheet of like, these are the names we're throwing out. Now, everything moves fast in indie publishing, so most of the, like, the names I'm rattling off right now, I didn't even use 6 months ago. Like, this stuff changes so quickly. So it does need to be updated, but it would give you the basic, like, basic set of players, and at least kind of let you see the overarching shape of the process. And then you can see some of the things underneath each stage of, like, okay, at this stage, your main concern is going to be like prepping your files and getting your story ready and signing up for a couple of, you know, publisher accounts and stuff. So there's very distinct phases, and I'm going to try and have one big overarching visual tool that lets you see the whole thing together, but then like single resources that help you with a section or a stage that you're at. So part of the purpose of these is just me gathering what it is people want to know or would find most helpful. So if there is any particular steps, just let me know what those are, or any like particular areas that cause confusion, and then I can help clarify some of that and build that into the materials.
Well, I think it's even starting, you know, sort of from that decision to go to an electronic publishing direction, right? And so because in my mind, at least for some of the things that I'm working on now, I'm thinking traditional, but the more I hear about electronic publishing, there may be applications for certain projects that I think, that might be a way to go. So why would I do that? And what projects might be better served that way versus a traditional route? So that's really of interest to me. And the only real exposure that I've even had sort of with the logistics of it was in the writer's studio. We had, I'm trying to remember his name, is an amazing guy, heads up the publishing at Kobo. And so he gave a great talk, gave us a bunch of information, and just sort of, you know, how they work with respect to, you know, sort of how they pay, how they, you know, advertise, how they market their product, you know, for and with you. But even that, you know, it was still sort of out of the realm of my understanding, because I'm still thinking in traditional land, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot to absorb. One of the best starting places, I think, is listening to some podcasts, actually. And one of the really good ones is Mark Dawson's Publishing 101, or Self-Publishing 101. And I mean, they just published their 100th episode, I think. So there's a lot of material, but they have some that are podcasts around a specific tool or topic, or like a help resource for authors. And then they have others that are authors sharing their approach. So if you have, they haven't had a lot of kids authors on there. I have to say that's one like gap that I've noticed. So, you know, a lot of the stuff will apply, but a lot of it's really different. So I'm happy to fill in any blanks there. There's one guy, Aaron Shepherd. He did some stuff on self-publishing kids books, and he was really good. He wrote a book called Aiming at Amazon and a couple other things, and one of the areas he publishes in is kids books, and a lot has changed. I haven't seen his recent stuff like in the last year or so, but there are some really cool tools for digitally publishing kids books now. Like Amazon has a kids book creator tool for Kindle. So you can build interactive like Kindle books. They have a textbook creator tool as well. And iBooks, are you on a Mac or a PC?
On a PC, yeah.
Okay. So the Kindle tools will work for you. The iBooks author tools won't, but there's a program that lets you build interactive iBooks. So that's pretty cool too. But the Kindle ones would be a good option to look at. Like it's a nice way if you're, you've got the artwork. So that's a massive leap forward. Because a lot of people, the art is the most expensive part. Like if you're doing an illustrated book.
Absolutely, yeah.
But if you're able to do some playing, the creator tools are pretty neat. I'll make a note. And they have like on the KDP website, they have an entire like best practices section, and there's a help guide that you can download that tells you exactly how to do all the things. That their help stuff is actually really, really good. It's just not always intuitive to find. Like it's, you don't know what you're looking for necessarily. So it's kind of all little link embedded in a paragraph, and you have to just follow stuff down a rabbit hole to find the good bits. So I'll try to pull out that link and put it into River in the kids book indie publishing forum.
Oh, that would be great.
There's some neat ways to play.
I was just going to ask you, for you then, as a romance writer, as CJ Hunt, then, is that where you're doing your indie stuff, or are there other parts of your portfolio that you also do in eBay?
I did a whole bunch of kids books, actually. I haven't been focusing on it very much in the last little while. I got a little distracted with the romance stuff, but I do have multiple kids books that I have published in hardcover, softcover, digital. Like I did iBooks with audio and the whole deal. So and then also through the consulting business that I've had for the last decade or so, I do that for clients, or I have been doing that for clients. I don't do as much these days, but so I have been part of pretty much every formatting or type of publishing project you can imagine. And sometimes I'm actually doing the tech, and sometimes my staff is. It just depends on kind of what our capacity is at.
Yeah.
So we've tested most everything that's out there that's sort of been released within the last, I don't know, anything up to current. But it has been more on the novel side than the kids book side lately. But I still have clients that I've worked with in the last 6 months who I've helped through the kids book publishing process. So I can totally connect you with any of that stuff. And I mean, for kids books, it's different because actual print copies are still more of a driver. I mean, they're often gift items and things like that. There's definitely some great tools for that. And Ingram Spark is the only POD, really. I mean, Lulu and Ingram Spark have full color picture books, hardcover. But I would really recommend going with Ingram Spark personally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that's something to check out. And there's lots of resources on that too.
I do have another question. Crystal, what portion of the website do you think I should be looking at right now? Just because it's kind of new to me, I've been banging around looking at stuff, but I didn't really know where I should focus my attention to, like,
Which website?
Let me find it here so I know how to call it properly. That would be the creativeacademy.com site.
Oh, okay. So there's two areas really on that, the actual CCS Creative Academy site, that would be most relevant. One is the resource room. So
that's where I found like the book funnel discounts, that kind of thing.
The resource room is actually a collection of a whole bunch of other bits and pieces. I'm just going to do a share screen here.
Okay. I found it. I found it.
Okay. Yeah. So you'll notice, can you guys see the Creative Academy now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So the resource room has in it a whole bunch. We've bundled some random bits and pieces of things that we thought might be helpful. So there's like little mini courses, and there's worksheets, and there's some infographics. So anything we think would help sort of round out your other experiences, we're putting in there. And that's a free ad. So you just have to click on the main thing. If you click on the Get Started Now, when you're on the resource room page or the Let Me In button, it will give you everything that's in there, will automatically be added to your account. And then if you're logged in, which I am now, then if you go to My Courses, you're going to find all of those appear in your courses automatically. So that's your best place to start, is always to click on the My Courses. And you can go into the membership section, which will have your coupon codes and things like that. Okay, here to view. So in here, you'll see there's the member discount stuff. We post our office hour time videos, so you might find resource links under there. We're trying to add, like from last week, we're trying to add timestamps if we really switched topics, so you can see if there was something relevant. And like tools we talked about last week, I put links to them, and I made a note if there was a coupon available so that you would remember to do that if you were going to get that tool. So yeah, you can poke around in there. I think those will be really helpful. Our master classes are also going to start going up. The first one goes up this week. And then there's one a month, and that is, you know, either one of our instructors or outside instructors. We're setting up with some rock star presenters to come in and do workshops in areas that maybe we aren't the most experienced in, or that people have requested and we think would be helpful, and just to get some more points of view and some more knowledge built in. So those things, you'll always find them in this part in the CCS site. That being said, we will also post notices in River of as much stuff as we can. So that River community is really a good place to look for resources and requests. Like if I mention something, you can remind me in River, and then I'll add it to that section. So let me, have you been in River yet, Christy?
I sort of had a little peek in it, yeah.
Okay. So in here, we're trying to organize it all by topic. So like a lot of what we talked about today would be in the indie publishing stuff. And you'll see it's all sorted by like audiobooks, Kindle keywords, categories and ranking, book covers, that kind of thing. And as stuff comes up in office hours that's relevant, or comes up in chats in River, I'm pulling it, and then you'll see there's the chat section where you can just generally converse with people who are online. There's also the topic. So when you go into a topic, like our keywords, there's a section at the top. So this has got a link already to a Kindlepreneur article on keywords.
I see.
You can access any of that stuff. And if there's a coupon for a software, I'll try to drop it in here too. So this will be like each of us, Eileen and Donna and I, are kind of responsible for our own area's forum topics. And so we will try to collect up the things that seem useful, so we're not all sifting through all of the conversations all the time. But if there's something you think we should add to that pin, you can put a reply in here and say, hey, can we add whatever to this resource list, or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, we're still kind of figuring out our groove and how all the pieces interact. So any suggestions you have, just let us know what those are in terms of how you would want to use things. If stuff is not intuitive, let us know. And we're just kind of building our how-to stuff right now so that we help people get oriented easily. The third piece is that every week you're going to get a newsletter from us on Fridays, and it's going to say, hey guys, this week we added X, Y, and Z. Have you checked that out yet? So, you know, don't worry that you're going to like miss the cool stuff because you looked in the wrong place. We're going to make sure that you end up in the right spot no matter what.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Crystal. My other question would be the master classes. Is that open to anybody? Do you sign up for that? Is that like another
anyone who's a member gets those.
Oh, okay.
So if you're coming to office hours, then you get the master classes too.
And is that, again, I mean, this is a dumb question, but I'm assuming it'll be like at a certain time and you'll sign in through Zoom the same way. Is that the idea?
Oh, the master classes are pre-recorded.
Oh,
so they're
awesome.
Dropped into that interface. You can watch them anytime you want.
Oh, awesome.
So
that's
it
great.
May be that occasionally we have like a bonus live event with a Q&A period or something. Like I might invite a guest to my office hours 1 week or whatever. And so that we'd make sure that went out in the newsletter beforehand so you could bookmark it. But normally, all of the master classes are pre-recorded
then
posted. You're not tied to a specific time on those. We wanted it to be flexible and you could come back to them forever. Like they're just going to be a resource library for us is what's going to happen.
Okay.
So when you say, for example, yours is on the 22nd, so what time does it show up? Like first thing in the morning or?
To be honest, it's probably going to show up on the 20th.
It's
probably going to be early. That's like the latest possible time for the team. We're gonna see. It's my birthday tomorrow, so it depends how
happy birthday
in the following day. But the plan is, I'm actually teaching a similar. It's a goal setting workshop and like a strategy session actually. So a lot of the like stuff we're talking about of setting goals and how do I know what my next action is and what's your overall like what do you want to achieve this year and how are we going to get you from here to there. We're kind of road mapping that it's like a planning workshop to kick things off. So I'm going to teach it on Saturday and I may refine some things after I teach it live on Saturday, and then you guys will get the vetted and practiced version that's recorded. So yeah, it should be going up. Ideally it'll go up on Friday, but it might be Sunday. We'll see how I decide to tweak things or not.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, we still have 8 minutes. You got more questions, Jeremy?
You know what? I do, but I don't know them yet because I have to go do all the homework you gave me and try to figure it out.
Yeah, you do.
I have tons of questions. The book's is very interesting.
Yeah.
It's really good. So.
Quite fascinating is Booksprout. Yeah, I have to say, just one of the general like arguments of go wide versus not go wide, it's been very interesting to test that. And I don't know how attached you are to Smashwords, but I love draft to digital. And
I can just leave Smashwords. That's not a big deal. I didn't know that.
It's your stuff. The idea behind it is you can go anywhere you want at any time, but I mean, you can see how you feel about that process, but what did you use to lay out your books?
Word. I know I should have done that, but I'd already gone so deep into it, and I read enough articles that kind of helped me, you know, figure it out that I would have preferred to use Scrivener if I'd known ahead of time, but I was so deep into Word, I tried putting in the Scrivener, I suffered. It is a good way, I just didn't figure it out.
Well, and so Draft to Digital has a beautiful interface for formatting your ebooks. It's like you upload your Word document and then you can tweak it. They have all this back matter stuff you can auto set to just add to your book.
Oh, that's
awesome. And they have discounts. Like you don't have to pay for setup there's audiobook options. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Put that on our like to talk about next office hours list.
Okay. For sure.
The audiobook stuff, because that's really cool.
I know I've heard that company before, but what's it called again? Just remind me.
Draft to Digital.
Draft to Digital. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll look into that one for sure.
They're pretty rock star. I'll give you a link to click as well. I feel like there's benefits of getting referred by a member. And I can't remember what they are, but I know I got emails about it saying, bring your friends and we'll do good things for all of you. So awesome. I will send you a link anyway, and then you can check it out. But I just find their interface is amazing. They get super fast responses to stuff. Their tracking's good. They have this thing called a universal book link. So any of your titles that are wide, you can actually put this link in, and then when the person clicks on it, it takes them to a page that has like icons for every store your book is available on, and they just pick which one they like, and it'll remember it on their device after that. But it means that you can format your files the same way to go everywhere. Like they don't, you don't have to redo a version to go.
Yeah. I've done tons of those versions for different things.
Right? Yeah. So you don't have to do that. Oh. So that's, and then from your website, you just have a buy my book link. You don't have like 57 like buttons for each book. Yeah.
Awesome.
And you can create those for books that are like through Amazon too. You don't have to actually be through Draft to Digital to use that tool.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got a lot to look into.
It's pretty cool. They have neat stuff. Yeah. And
I know what you're saying, but I don't understand the nuts and bolts of it until I get in there.
Yeah, it's all good. Just put it on the to talk about list for next time. And the guy from Smashwords, you sort of had an offhand comment at the beginning that you had like sent him an email to ask some questions or something. He has a podcast.
Okay. Mark, I guess if I'm not going to use it anymore, it's not worth listening.
No. Even if you don't use them, you want to listen to the podcast because they have insider information of every single sales statistic from every person using Smashwords. And they have rockstar info, actually. So let me pull up my podcast list and I'll tell you the name. It's Smart Author with Mark Coker.
Okay. Smart Author
with Mark Coker. Yeah. And they have... how many episodes? Not a ton, actually. I feel like it's actually really new.
I've gotten emails about it.
Yeah. Well, he does have stuff from 2017, but I feel like there's like 13 episodes maybe total. It's not crazy. And they're super helpful. And part of what he does is this like end of the year info roundup of all of the stats and all of the trends from everyone publishing through Smashwords. So they have like, oh, if you have a series, this is what's working in terms of marketing. This is what's working in terms of like permafree, then 99 cent, then regular price or whatever. They can tell you who's making the most money from where.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. That's awesome. All right.
Yeah. So even if you don't use Smashwords, they totally want to listen to that.
Okay. I got to listen to 3 podcasts, Mark Dawson's as well.
Oh yeah. And Mark Dawson's like, don't try to do all those in a short period of time. Like if you just start with now and do one a week, and then implement some stuff, that'll be like as much as you can process. And then just, if there's a specific episode that you want to go back to on a topic, go back there, but like you'll get lost down that rabbit hole. We won't see you again. There's hundreds of hours of podcasts.
Okay,
in that one.
Okay.
The other two are short and sweet and like super focused. The other one is like a goldmine of lovely playtime, but it's like there's so much good stuff in there that you could literally never come back out again.
Okay.
So just pace yourself. Yourself.
Awesome.
I've been listening to that one like since they started. So I've done it one a week, but if there's an episode I think you need to hear, I'll make sure I flag it for you from the archives. Otherwise, like start current and then see what you have capacity for.
Awesome. That's great. You'll best them for me. Thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, they're awesome. All three of those places are like some of the best possible information you could get on what's going on. And they're all at a high enough level where they're actually sitting in meeting rooms with the people from Amazon talking about how to make it work better. Like it's not that they're just authors who have figured it out. They're, you know,
they are
the movers and shakers in the industry. They absolutely get special treatment and special access to stuff to test. And they always know what's coming because if they're going to test a beta, they test it with these people. So, you know, new features you learn about a little bit on the earlier side because you can hear what's coming, not just what the regular folks like us have access to, but what's actually coming down the chute. So,
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I listened to that one podcast with the book funnel guy and that was, eye opening for sure. And, like I said, I want to try the option of giving my subscribers, you know, like half price on my paid book. I still haven't done that yet. I need to figure out the PayPal account and all that stuff, but that's something I need to look into.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to find the time.
Other thing that I'm about to test with my next book, so I'll let you know how it goes, is one of the things Mark Dawson does is he releases his book for 99 cents for the first like 48 hours and then he ups the price. So he publishes it at 99 cents, sends out a message to his newsletter that says, if you grab it in the next 48 hours, you're going to get it for 99 cents. Otherwise the price is going up to, you know, $4.99 or whatever it is on Tuesday. And so that seeds your sales, give you a major boost, populates your also bots immediately, gives you a sales ranking on Amazon because you don't get a rank until you sell books. And it starts the promotion, the internal promotion wheel moving in Amazon's system. And so it will cost a little bit, but it's your fans that you're giving the benefit of that price to. And then you don't actually have to manage anything except changing your price after 48 hours to the next pricing level.
I actually did do that with my new one, the second one for paid. And because my numbers are so humble, it was definitely humble numbers. But right. The first day was like 22 books. So I was like, that's a good start.
Awesome. Even yeah. Two books means you've started the machinery moving, right? Like it's just enough to trigger it in their system is what you need. So yeah. And just think like the difference that's going to make in the next time you do it, your newsletter list is going to be bigger. And so each time you do that, it just starts that moving even more.
Right. Okay. Awesome.
Well, and then you reward your followers too. So.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it too. I'm like, oh, these are like a lot of our family and friends right now.
Yes, exactly. Well, you're about to enter the stranger phase. So that's exciting when it's like people you don't know signing up and, you know, you're getting messages from people that you're like, I have no idea who you are. And this
I have had a few of those. It's pretty neat. I've had like, I don't know, maybe five, but still I'm like, oh, wow, this was like cool.
Yeah, totally. I actually invited people to email me in the back of my book, which some people thought was insane, but I get a handful a day and they're, it's just people connecting. Yeah. But 40,000 people downloaded Silver Bells and maybe like 150 of them have emailed me. So like, it's not a crushing weight of correspondence. Let's put it that way. Right. But it is just a tiny little trickle of fun stuff that comes in. And that's like a really nice sort of boost.
Yeah,
it's kind of a reminder that there's real people on the other end of the stories and the emails. And so, you know, just something to consider is like giving people the opportunity to reach out personally. Most of them will never take it, but for the ones that do, it makes a huge difference. And I mean, for me, it makes a huge difference just actually connecting with those people and hearing what they liked and what they responded to is really valuable market research too.
I agree.
Just having that. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've reached the end of our hour.
Yeah. So thanks, Crystal. This is super helpful.
Pause and hopefully we'll see you all around the river, and I will stick around for a minute or two after I stop recording just in case anybody has any wrap-up questions or any other business, and that'll be all good. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Crystal. It's awesome.